This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. I have a very special guest, Linwood Jackson Jr. He's going to be talking about how he was able to realize his self-worth and how you can do the same. Linwood is an author writing on mental and spiritual health. He believes in the power of the Bible's words when sincerely exercised and studied. Through his books, speeches, and discourses, he encourages you to think and feel for yourself so that self-love may bloom. Welcome to the show, Linwood. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent today. Thank you for having
Yay.
Me. I can't wait to talk to you and to your listeners.
Awesome. So start by telling us the story of how you came to do what you currently do.
It ends with looking for me finding self-love, for self-possession, for self-development, for my highest potential, for what I'm born for. But It began with me going through college, you know. Right now, my generation, from the 30-year-old to the 35-year-old right now, we're going through like a quarter-life crisis, like quite literally. They're leaving their jobs that they graduated college from because they're realizing that something's missing from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're realizing that the path that they chose wasn't something that was their own. And mine, like, going through college and graduating college, it's not a bad thing, but when you're not doing it for you, you kind of realize, I don't even know who I am. And so I graduated college as a graduated dummy, as I like to say, having passed through all those classes and having retained absolutely nothing of my experience but the debt that comes with it. And so along that time, as I was graduating, I wanted to find something that was me, something that I could claim for myself, something that I knew was me. And I ended up falling in love with the gym and exercising. And I loved the pain that came from exercising. It was like therapy to me. And it was therapeutic because it was sort of like, I deserve to feel that pain for my ignorance and for my stupidity, for not making my own decisions about my own life and what I wanted to do with it. So it was kind of like a pain pleasure thing. And I ended up, you know, abusing the gym and also the supplements that I was taking, and ended up in the hospital. And at that moment in the hospital, just laying in the hospital bed, I just thought to myself, why am I here? Like, what did I do to get myself here? And it wasn't so much as exercising, and it wasn't so much as abusing the supplements I was taking, but it was more of me looking for a reason to love myself and a reason for me to understand my own self-worth and my own self-value, because I didn't have it. And I was looking for it in an outlet that just wasn't the right way to do it. And I mean, it was right, but it was just for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And from that point in time, I, you know, couldn't really do much. So I was laid up in bed and I just cracked open the Bible. I wasn't really a Bible person in my family also, not really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, always raised with something, but still I cracked it open and I got the diet that was in the Bible, I ended up implementing, and that same diet helped my mind, my internal organs, and also the organs of my person, my being. And that experience, I documented that experience, and that was my first book, Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion. It's just a book of, every chapter is just a new counsel of how the Bible's advice for mental and spiritual health can help physical development along with your production in your daily life. And that's how I got started. That whole experience opened me up to realizing, like, the reason why I am born. And if I'm feeling this way, there's other people that have to feel this way too. So why not just do something to, you know, let them know they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What a story. You know, I love the way you say quarter life crisis, because that has never been heard of, at least not by me. Midlife crisis. That's what I went through. You get to your 40s and you're like, who am I? What am I doing here? Why am I so unhappy? But I kind of love that your generation is getting to it faster. That shows the evolving, you know, of our species, because it didn't take you half your life to figure this out. It took you only a quarter of your life. Wow, I wish I had been that way. So thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, your way of trying to prove your self-worth. I did that myself. And the fact that you showed something that was like off balance, it's over on the extreme. And of course you got injured, but it was all meant to be, because this brought you to this awareness that you now have. Is that what makes you so passionate about inspiring others to find their self-worth? I know that's part of what you do now.
Exactly. It does. You know, life is just so bad right now. We can't wait until we're, you know, midlife is just so different right now. Mm-hmm. And you factor in all of the things that's made available to us at this time, for example, social media and all of those little handheld gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
All we are, if you think about it, all we are is a body of energy and chemicals. And when those chemicals release, that energy changes, and that dictates how our behaviors and our actions come about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the things that are out there at this point in time manipulate our chemicals that are releasing from our brain and are affecting our behaviors and our actions and our thoughts and our feelings. And it's kind of crazy. Like, you can, there's an age limit for drinking alcohol, for example, but there's no age limit for these little gadgets that manipulate the same kind of chemical releases that you get, for example, from a cigarette or from drinking alcohol. And there's little kids that are using these things.
Right.
And so the manipulation of the chemical imbalance in the body, it's forcing us to not wait so long to try to wake up. And mm-hmm. I've spoken to different people, like youth that are in a state of depression, and they're telling me they're depressed and the reasons for why they're depressed. And, you know, it just gets to the point where I tell them, you can only be depressed for so long until you actually look at your depression and flip it around. And then you go, instead of being depressed about what you're depressed about, be depressed that you're not changing your environment. You're not changing the state of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what inspires me to, like, give the philosophy that the Bible gives for mental and spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from my point of view, it's, the philosophy is, you know, it just cuts down to religious tradition. Religious tradition is a means to stop you from fully experiencing what the words that are written are.
Mm-hmm.
When you can step out of that environment and realize that you are not a religious tradition, that you are a human being that can think and feel without some kind of handwritten philosophy tossed down to you by mother and father or by someone in a suit, then mm-hmm. you can begin to feel and know yourself with and really experience life as it's supposed to be. And that's inspiring to me.
Yeah. I love the way you put it. You put it so perfectly. I had the same experience you did. I grew up in, you know, in organized religion and was very religious for a very long time, but then had that spiritual awakening. But I love the way that you put it. We have to free our minds to be able to think for ourselves and not just take whatever people hand down to us, whether you say be our parents, religious leaders, whoever, just does not mm-hmm. take that because they wrote it and they said it was right. And, you know, you follow it. No, we have to think for ourselves. And the world is doing that now. And more people your age, young people, are doing that now. And I think it's all very exciting. Let's talk a little bit about what role authenticity played in all this for you.
Oh, wow. And it's perfect that I'm on this show, because self-worth is all about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
like the root behind, you know, self-worth is being the most genuine person you can be. And for me, my experience, that ingenuine spirit is what caused me so much trouble. But when I went through that process of reorganizing my thoughts and my feelings and getting that energy into a good channel that I could benefit not just myself, but, you know, other people that feel the same way I do, it's that genuine self that can relate, and the experience of that genuine self that helps you to grow inwardly and in every field. Like, you can't be a good husband, you can't be a good brother, you can't be a good teacher, you can't be a good doctor, you can't be a good anything if you're not authentic. Mm-hmm. And there's an experience that you have to go through to get to that point. And I think for fear, you know, many don't really go for that kind of experience. It's more of like, I couldn't tell you because I'm not built that way, but the experience I've gone through, it helps me to sympathize with those people out there that would rather follow a religious tradition instead of questioning that religious mm-hmm. tradition, mm-hmm. that would rather follow a way to eat and a way to dress instead of developing their own style and the expression of their own person. There's mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of insecurity that we have naturally that has to be conquered. And if it's not conquered, it's going to eat us alive, and we're just going to be eaten alive by the people that's out there. And that's right. Another reason why I'm so inspired to do this, because, you know, there's no reason to feel insecure about anything. Like, nobody knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's just interesting to me how we are and how we communicate with one another.
Yeah. You know, you talked about those insecurities, and you said they're built into us. I don't believe they're built into us. If you watch a child, a little child, you know, 2-year-old and under, maybe even up to 3, they're very secure in themselves. They know what they want. They know how to have a fit about it. And they're they know their self-worth. They know how valuable they
are.
Very
true, very true, very true.
But as we get older and people... Yes, as we get older, people tell us how we're lacking and not doing things right and correcting us all the time. That's when we lose it. And so you said something before that really struck me, trying to find your self-worth outside of you in your fashion, in your body, in whatever, it doesn't work. And you get into that space where you're no longer authentic. You're not being who you are, for me, for afraid that people would reject me, right? Who I am is not good enough, so let me try and be better than who I am or someone else, because they'll like that person. And so that, you know, that's the root of that. But
exactly.
I love that once you step into authenticity, for me, it was so empowering, because at this point, I don't care what people think about me. You know, they could talk about me all they want. It doesn't influence me anymore. And I just have to be who I am. And that's how I have to be. I can't be anybody else at this point. So what... you know what, let's go for a quick break, and then we're going to talk about, you know, the steps for beginning to realize your self-worth. We'll come back with that. And if you want to call in and ask Linwood a question, you can call in now at 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869, and we'll be right back.
Would you rather pay rent or own the apartment complex? Easy, right? You want to collect the rents as opposed to paying them. So why pay to be in a networking group when you can own networking groups? Do you want to explore a franchise opportunity where you could profit from starting networking groups and add it on to what you're already doing? If so, contact us via info@amspirit.com. That's info@amspirit.com.
Have you noticed that when you are having a good day, the day seems to flow with more ease? That is no mistake. When we feel good about ourselves, we attract this to us. I'm Joy Truscott, and as a clinical therapist, I specialize in releasing trauma blocks and shifting age-old family patterns that no longer serve us. Hop onto my website, joytruscott.com, to access many free resources and find out how we can work together.
Perceptive Awareness Technique with Susan Zumo teaches rapid expansion of your psychic abilities, increases self-esteem, and provides immediate and accurate answers to all your questions. Contact Susan at SusanZumo.com, that's SusanZumo.com, or call 757-275-4071. Again, that's SusanZumo.com or 757-275-4071 to get started.
We're back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maury Mitchell, with guest Linwood Jackson Jr. We've been talking about how he was able to realize his self-worth and how you can do the same. So, Linwood, what do you believe is a very small first step for a person who wants to begin to realize their self-worth?
Well, I'm going to have to piggyback off of you for this one and return to a childlike state of mind in whatever field you're in. For me, personally, my world, I write and I speak on the philosophy in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so the very first step, I would say, is just as you pointed out earlier, which is a true fact, return to learning and proving those words as a child. A child doesn't really care, but it doesn't really care except the experience. Mm-hmm. And what we have inside of us, our faith, when we have our faith develops just like a child develops. Like one of the most trying experiences as a newborn baby is that first breath of being born, like from right out of the mother, like mm-hmm. that very first breath. That's the most trying, which is why there's the most crying, or the loudest crying, is like that mm-hmm. very first breath. That the very first step to self-worth is to step out of your thoughts of who you think you are and what you think you are not, and take that first breath of you. Experience everything, feel everything, running from no pain, running from no disappointment. The experience is what builds a memory, and that memory allows us to never return to what was painful, but to always return to what was profitable. And so that first step is the first step, the first small step, although it's a large step in a way, to positive change. Because we hang so much on the words of tradition. We hang so much on words that are public.
Yes.
But not enough to what is inside and what is valuable to our point of view and to our perspective. Take that step as a child and you'll never fail.
Wow. I love what you said. It's so powerful. Thinking about taking your first breath, which we can't remember our first breath when we were born. But as you were saying that, I just was closing my eyes and feeling that. And it's extremely powerful because now you're just born and your whole life is ahead of you. And all the potential that's inside you is there, ready and waiting. That's how I felt. So thank you so much for sharing that. What do you believe is the main message you want to bring to the public, Linwood?
The main message is, I'm just going to, again, just piggyback off of what I just last said from there, is not to live your life as if it's your last breath, but to live your life as if it's your first breath of consciousness.
Mm.
And more specifically, those words, just not just your first breath, like your first breath of a conscious awareness that you are breathing. How would you live your life after that time? That's the message I would like to give to every single person, because there's a difference between, you know, going through life according to somebody else's platform.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another kind of aspect of living when you're building your own platform, not from any kind of inside self, like, you know, self-complacency or any kind of self-pride, but according to self's awareness that it is not aware and it needs to become aware. So it's going through the experience of becoming aware. Like, how would you live out your first day of your first breath of consciousness? That's something I keep with myself. And whenever I can, I try to share that message to everyone.
Mm. Wow, that's a really powerful message. And for me, I feel really excited, you know, when you say, this is your first breath of consciousness, how would you live?
Right?
It's like, I guess I'm excited just thinking about it. All these things that are possible and all these things that I can do. And I don't have to worry about all the things that people said all my life that I can't do because that's all God. So that's extremely powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Would you like to talk about your books for a little bit? I know you have several and you have a new release.
I do. A Prayer for Change is something that touches on this topic completely. A Prayer for Change is my audiobook, and it's point by point. Chapters are going point by point about how you go about that change, because we all really would like a healthy and consistent change. But for some reason, there's just something preventing us from simply adjusting to what needs to be adjusted to for that change. And so that book breaks down the general philosophy that the Bible teaches through the man Jesus on the cross, what that body on the cross symbolizes, what that crucifixion symbolizes. And from that point on, the dissection of that illustration, getting right to the change that is needed in heart and in mind for practical industry, not the kind of industry like, you know, you go to college and the collegiate experience is there to raise the perfect citizen, I would say. But the life experience that comes, you know, when you're not a perfect citizen, when you are a perfect you, that perfect you is what that change is. In my generation right now, We're feeling that because we've gone through that experience in this educational institution, and who we are has been kept hidden from us by who we're supposed to be according to the perfect citizen model. And when you're not following that model, you're rejected. They give you all kinds of medicine. They think something's wrong with you, and then you start thinking something's wrong with you, and there's really nothing wrong with you. You're just looking for you.
Yes.
And that sort of message in A Prayer for Change, that is just a message I constantly keep in my heart on a daily basis and try to implement.
Wow. Again, very powerful. You know, society does not make it easy for us to find ourselves. You know,
not at all.
At least the society in this country. It's just the opposite. You know, we're bombarded with commercials, with everything about how you have to look, how you have to dress, what you have to eat, where you have to live, and you get lost. It's easy. You know, I'm just seeing, like, standing, like, maybe in Times Square or maybe in Taiwan, they have this thing with all those ads, you know, just blaring at you. Neon signs. That's how it feels to me. But we can get back to us and find ourselves, find you. And that's your main message, really. I love it. Tell us a little bit about how to get a hold of you, and then we'll continue how one can get a hold of you in your books.
You can, my website, linwoodjacksonjr.com, L-I-N, linwoodjacksonjr.com. You can find my books there, or you can go on to Amazon. You could type my name in, Linwood Jackson Jr., and a whole list of my books will come up on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you, I welcome personal messages. Feel free to email me. My email is also on my website, or I'll just tell you, linwoodjackson@hotmail.com.
Okay.
I welcome all, and I'm thankful for all.
Wonderful. And you can also find Linwood on my website, on my radio show page. Just go to lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Click on my radio page, and he's right there with his picture, a link to his website, and a link to his books. And make sure you pass along the show. There will be a replay right after. And if you like what you're hearing, pass it on to your friends, to relatives, to everyone you know. So is there one last thing that you'd like to say to a listener, something that might be on your heart right now?
Definitely. I would like to say to you who's listening, you, be uncomfortable. There's no such thing as comfort without being uncomfortable. and uncomfortable, meaning going against what the traditional belief is in whatever, doesn't have to be religion, doesn't have to be politics, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. Be uncomfortable to understand what's right for you and to get the fact of the absolute matter. Because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. The knowledge we retain from our experiences to guide who we are. And then when somebody else comes along and needs something that nobody else can, there we are with a bit of wisdom to shed on them, to lead them and to correctly guide them to their own journey safely. And that's one thing I would just like to leave. Go, you know, that experience, and also embrace the routine of empathy, because, you know, we're all going through the same thing. We're all feeling the same thing. We're all equally chemical and energy beings. And so that experience of passing through, knowing who you are, it's not just for you. Like, we're not born just for us. We have a connection mm-hmm. with the universe. We have a connection with one another. And we're born to give ourselves benevolently. And empathy is the key to all of that. That's the message I would like to leave for
wow.
you who's listening.
That's super powerful. I love the be uncomfortable part, because so many times we don't change because we don't want to feel discomfort. But there's no way to change without it. You know, I tell my clients, if you want to have
sure.
something you never had, you have to really do something you never did. And that's always uncomfortable to do something new.
So true.
I just love that you said that. And the empathy part, you don't hear people talking about that. How did that come to you? How did you get, you know, glean this wisdom on the empathy?
And it's just so funny, because I talk to so many people that they would call themselves Christians. And
yes.
when I go through what the philosophy of the Bible is, and I go through, I put a term on self-value, for self-possession, for practical industry, and the entire process to get to that is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I explain that part of empathy and how the Bible actually talks about the philosophy of empathy being a tool to practical learning and also for practical teaching, it's sort
mm-hmm.
of the response is, that's not taught in the religion. And it's
that's right.
And it's a very weird thing. The kind of idolatrous nature that religion in general is, it stops you from seeing your own self-worth to
mm-hmm.
better the worth of the people around you, because you're so focused on an individual figure. You're so
yeah.
focused on an individual role that you don't forget that I have to benefit from this also. How come I'm not benefiting, but I have to act like this one figure in order
mm-hmm.
to be accepted by the people that wrote about this one figure? What's going on with this one figure? How come the people that write about him don't even act like this one figure? And
mm-hmm.
so that part of empathy, it kicks in, because you realize there's something missing. And that kind of empathetic intelligence is what registers our own self-value, which is the experience, you know, I'm going through, and I care to share it and to just put little pieces together for, you know, people that might be curious or, you know, trying to find who they are through whatever they're going through.
Right. Wow. I love it. I love everything you've shared. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been nothing but a pleasure. And just the way you word things and phrase things and use words like empathy, like you say, we don't hear that from religious leaders. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you for listening in. Remember that the replay of the show will be available right after. Share it with your friends, with your relatives, everyone you know, and make sure you come back and listen to the next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide, with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.